Greetings, church. It's good to see you all here with us online, and we're glad that you're able to join us today. We're in the series on tough times, big God, and we've looked at several things like stress and failure and loneliness and even relationships as we kind of look at what God has to say about certain aspects of life, especially during this pandemic time. Today, my topic that I was given is what God says about your future, what God says about your future. And there's a lot of ways that we could approach that. We could talk about your future in the next 10 years. We can talk about your future life here. We can talk about your future in eternity. We can talk about your future after you die. Just a lot of things. And the Bible actually has, most of the Bible probably talks about what happens to you in your future. So there is no end of verses and things that we can talk about today. But as I've been praying and thinking about this season of pandemic and what God may want to say to us to kind of narrow it down, I decided to focus on the topic of what God says about what happens when you die. What happens when you die? You know, this pandemic has been hard for many of us. I'd say even most of us. Most of us have lost loved ones, relatives or friends or acquaintances that we were close to. Death has been a big part of what the country and the world has experienced during this pandemic time. So it seems appropriate to take this time and look at what does God say about what happens when you die, when we die. And that's kind of what I'm going to talk about today. Again, the scripture has a lot to say. And honestly, most of this sermon is going to be reading scripture because we're looking at what God says, right? Not what Chris says about what happens when you die. So bear with, and I hope you open your Bibles as you can or read the scripture along and think about it. Remember, scripture is the word of God. That this is God's truth. So when we read it, and you're asking the question, what does God say about this? When you read scripture, this is what God says about this topic. So let's go ahead and get started. I think the key verse that kind of sets everything up in terms of this sermon is Hebrews 9:27. Hebrews 9:27 says this: "And just as it is appointed for people to die once, and after this, judgment. And just as it is appointed for people to die once, and after this, judgment." Let me kind of break that down for us a little bit. Starts off, just as it is appointed for people to die once. So it tells us we only die once. Okay, so I know there are a lot of world religions, Buddhism, Hinduism, some other religions that believe that after you die, you get to come back as something else, right? Depending on how good you live this life, how well you did living in this life determines what you come back as the next time. And as you get better and better and better, hopefully someday you'll get to the place where you can rise all above it and escape the circle of life, right? That just come coming back and around. Well, the Bible says that's not true. That's not true. You die once. After that, something else happens, okay? And you don't come back again. There isn't a second chance. There's not another time that we get to do things differently, to get it right. That is not what happens. God says you die once. Then it goes on, appointed for people to die once, and after this. So it tells us that there is an after this, after we die. And there is life after death. There is something that happens after we die. And again, sometimes we think, well, after I die, I become nothing, right? I turn into nothingness. I just cease to exist. That life ends when we die here in this world. And again, God says, that's not true. That's not true. That after you die, there's an after. There is an after that. And then the scripture goes on, right? And it says this: "And just as it is appointed for people to die once, and after this, judgment." Judgment. So after we die, there is a judgment, which means that after we die, there's going to be a time when we have to give an account for our life, where we have to to be accountable to somebody and explain to somebody how we lived our life. And we will be judged by somebody as to how we lived our life. And some judgment will be made, and some decree will be offered after that judgment. So the first thing that we have to see here is that after we die, there will be judgment. So point one, what does God say about life after death? One, after you die, you will be judged. You will be judged. Now, if you're like me, I'm saying, okay, if that's the truth, then who's my judge, right? That's the natural question, right? Who's the one then, if I have to be accountable to somebody, if I have to give an account of my life, if I have to report to somebody about my life, if somebody is going to judge me on this, who is it? Who is this person or this body or whatever that's going to be a judge over me? Acts 10, 37 to 42. I'm going to read the whole passage, but then you'll see parts of it up on your screen as I read it. Acts 10, 37 to 42 says this. So we're asking the question, who will be my judge? Peter writes this. You know the events that took place throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee after the baptism that John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how he went about doing good and healing all who were under the tyranny of the devil, because God was with him. So God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. We ourselves are witnesses of everything he did in both the Judean country and in Jerusalem, and yet they killed him by hanging him on a tree. God raised up this man on the third day and caused him to be seen, not by all the people, but by us, whom God appointed as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He, God, commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he, Jesus, is the one appointed by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. The question is, who is going to be my judge? Again, God answers very clearly. He says, Jesus Christ is the judge, that he is the one appointed by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. Now, I know you see a lot of movies, a lot of cartoons, a lot of ideas about who's actually, so when we die, we go to heaven, right? Who's actually sitting at the gate that's kind of standing there and letting us in? Sometimes it's a heavenly secretary, right, kind of a thing. Sometimes it's Michael the archangel. Sometimes it's Peter, right? We think of all these people that the world thinks of, all these people that'll be the one that kind of determines whether or not we get to go into heaven. The Bible says really clearly, Jesus Christ, he is the judge. He is the one that's going to decide whether or not you get into the kingdom of God. Well, if Jesus is the judge, then the next question, right, becomes, well, okay, so I know there is a judgment after I die. I know that Jesus is the judge. And then the next question is, well, what is he going to judge me on? Right? What am I going to be judged for? I want to know, you know, if I'm going to go through this judgment and Jesus is the judge, what is it that I'm going to be judged on? How do I do well, right, in this judgment that's going to happen? And that's such a natural question to ask, because, you know, none of us wants to stand before a judge and not know what it is that we're being accountable for. So in the answer to what does God say about on what will you be judged, John 3:36 says this. The one who believes in the Son has eternal life, but the one who rejects or disobeys is actually the better word. The Son will not see life. Instead, the wrath of God remains on him. Let me read it again. The one who believes in the Son has eternal life, but the one who rejects or disobeys the Son will not see life. Instead, the wrath of God remains on him. Let me say this first about eternal life. You know, Christians, you hear that in Christian terminology a lot, the word eternal life. And the idea is sometimes when you just look at the face value of those words, and maybe you don't understand too much what the Bible says, you think that, okay, eternal life means I live forever, right? I live forever, which means that if I don't do well or whatever, that I don't live forever, that I just disappear from the face of the earth. That's kind of the secular way of thinking about this. If you don't understand what God says about these things, right? And it's easy to jump to the conclusion that eternal life means I live forever. I just live eternally, right? And if I don't live forever, I disappear, that I cease to exist. That's what it means to the opposite, right, of eternal life. That's not what the Bible says, right? That's not how God explains it. We read from Hebrews 9, which I just read already, that God says, after you die, you're still alive, right? There's something after you die that you go through this judgment. And eternal life does not talk about how long you live. It sounds like a word that talks about how long you live, but it's not really talking about how long you live. It's talking about the quality of life that you live. Because the fact is, all of us, whether we believe in Jesus or not, all of us are going to live forever. All of us are going to live forever. What is going to matter is, how are we going to live forever? You know, who are we going to be with? What are we going to be doing? Where are we going to be? And eternal life talks to that. It doesn't talk about the length of life. It talks about the quality of life. And for the Christian, eternal life, we'll explain again a little bit later on what that means. But basically from John 3:36, the question being, what is it that I will be judged on? You'll be judged on your belief about Jesus and your relationship with him. Okay? The one who believes in the Son has eternal life, but the one who rejects or disobeys the Son will not see life. Instead, the wrath of God, God's wrath of God remains on him. Very clearly, what is he going to be judged on? Your belief about Jesus and your relationship with him. That's what's going to be judged on. It is not going to be about your works, right? A lot of people think, a lot of us, again, who don't know what God says about in the Bible about future life, we think, well, if I just do more good than I do bad, then I should be okay, right? If I'm just a good person, I should be okay. Jesus, right, will let me in. He'll say, hey, yeah, you had some problems there, but you did a lot of this good stuff, right? You gave a lot of money, you served the poor, you did a lot of things, so I'm going to let you in, right? And we think that's what gets us into heaven. But it's not. You'll be judged in your belief about Jesus and your relationship with him. Romans 10, 8 to 13 says this. This is the message of faith that we proclaim. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Two things you have to do. Confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. So that's the relationship. That's the relationship that you'll be judged on. Is Jesus your Lord? And the second thing is your belief, right? Do you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead? Now, that seems like a kind of strange way to put it, right? God, my belief has to be that God raised him from the dead. Easter's coming, right? And that's when we celebrate God's raising Jesus from the dead. And that's what this is talking about. Why is that so significant? Why is it important for us to believe that God raised Jesus from the dead? The reason is because Jesus, when he was living on this earth as a man, right, as fully man, fully human, fully God, fully man, but he was living life as a man on this earth, he was teaching a lot of things. He said a lot of things that are very controversial, right? He said a lot of things about the future, about heaven, about things that people didn't know, right, that no man would know. And it's easy for a person to sit back and say, well, that's great to hear, you know, good that you think those things, but why should I believe you? Why should I believe Jesus instead of believing Muhammad? Why should I believe Jesus instead of believing what Buddha says, right? Why should I believe in Jesus? Why should I believe in you? Why should I listen to what you say? What tells me that what you say is the truth and what other people say is not? Jesus, while he was here on earth, said very clearly, he said, here's how you're going to know. Here's how you're going to know that what I say is the truth. Because I'm going to be killed, He basically made this prediction. He said, the people are going to rise up, especially the religious leaders. They are going to capture me. They're going to torture me. They're going to put me on a cross, and they're going to kill me, and they're going to bury me. They're going to do all of that. But the third day after that, I'm going to rise from the dead. I'm going to rise from the dead. And Jesus said, this is how you will know that I am the one, that what I say is true and what everybody else says isn't. Because if that doesn't happen, then you don't have to worry. You don't have to believe me because I didn't rise from the dead. So you know what? Everything I told you is just my opinion and whatever. But Jesus says, you will know that what I say is the truth because on the third day after I die, I will rise from the dead. Well, we celebrate Easter, right? A big part of the world celebrates Easter because we understand that 3 days after Jesus died, he rose from the dead. And it's one of the great mysteries of life to people who do not believe in Jesus. Now, if we believe in Jesus, we all believe God raised him from the dead, right? And that's our understanding. That's why we believe that. That's why we believe God raised him from the dead. Now, that's the correct belief about Jesus. But for those people who do not believe in that, who do not believe in Jesus, one of the great mysteries of all time is what happened to the body of Jesus Christ. Everybody knew where he was buried. They even put soldiers to guard the tomb because they were afraid somebody would come steal the body, right? And so they pretend that Jesus rose from the dead. So they actually put soldiers in front of that tomb to guard against that specific thing. Yet on the third day, when people came, the body wasn't there. The body wasn't there. And it's one of the mysteries, unsolved mysteries of all time, if you don't believe that God raised him from the dead, is what happened to the body of Jesus Christ. There's no logical explanation. There's no way to explain it. You just kind of have to shrug your shoulders and say, well, here's some possible ideas. All of the ideas sound really illogical and foolish. So the fact remains that if we believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, it is believing that everything that Jesus said about life and death and heaven and hell, all the things that he taught are true. And that's the sign that he said, that's how you'll know. Because nobody else in history ever did that. Muhammad didn't rise from the dead. Buddha didn't rise from the dead. We know where their tombs are. They're still there. Jesus is not. Jesus is not. So first, you have to believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. The second is that you have to confess him as Lord. I'll talk about that in a minute. I want to talk about this first. Sometimes we think, well, how come? Why can't I just be judged on whether I'm good, right? Most of us probably think we're pretty good. You know, most of us, I would say, on a balancing scale between good and bad, I'm probably weighs at least a little bit more on the good side, right? And most of us would think, if that was the standard of judgment, is to stand before somebody and kind of get weighed whether my good or bad was. You know, whether my good was way better, more than my bad. Most of us might be kind of okay with that and kind of say, okay, you know, that's kind of okay. But God says that's not the standard. And the reason it's not the standard, and thank God that is not the standard, okay? Thank God the standard is not that our good outweighs the bad. First of all, who knows what good and bad really is? Right? It could be good for one person, might be bad for somebody else. And who knows when this act of good makes up for this act of bad. Right? Like you told this lie, right? Or something. Or you cheated on a test. Does giving a dollar to your friend for lunch or something make up for that? You know, at what point does your good outweigh the bad? There's no way to do that, right? And the worst the bad is kind of like, is there any good that you could do that would make up for that bad? for the consequences of telling a lie or something or cheating on a certain thing. Can anything make up for that? And if that were the reason, if that were the standard by which we are judged, I don't know what we would do. In fact, God, here's what God says, right? God says in Romans 3:23, it's not going to show up. Let me just listen to me as I read this. God says this: for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Here's the thing, right? We are trying to get into heaven. We're trying to get into this place, this good place where God is, and everything's perfect and everything is good. Clearly, the standard for getting in there has to be that you're perfect. Because if you're not perfect, heaven's not going to be perfect anymore, right? If you let not perfect people into heaven, what is that, right? Heaven's going to be just like here. Heaven's going to be just like here. It won't be any better. What good is that, right? And God is saying, look, heaven is better than this. Heaven is better than life here. Because everybody in heaven is going to be perfect. Now the problem is, well, who wants to raise their hand and say, I'm perfect? If I were to ask, raise your hand if you're perfect. Nobody's going to do that. I hope. You know, I don't think so. I don't think any of us would raise our hand and say, for my whole life, from the time I was born, I've been perfect. Nobody. And that's what God just says here. He says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. I love this definition of sin. Because sometimes we think sin or bad, doing bad, is doing something. Right? I do a sinful act. I lie, right? Or I steal or something, right? That's something I do. But here, sin is not something, not only something you do. It is any way that you fall short of the, any way that you fall short of the glory of God, which means you may not even have to do anything. God is love. Maybe you're unloving for a moment or a day or whatever, a season, then you're a sinner. Because you're not perfect. You fall short. Yeah, you didn't go out and beat up on somebody, right? You didn't go up and take advantage of somebody, but you weren't loving. So yeah, maybe you didn't do an unloving act, but you still fell short of the standard of love that God is. And God says, look, the standard for getting into heaven, when you stand there, standing in judgment, it's not going to be, thank God, it's not going to be on how much, whether your good is better than your bad, because everything you did, there's so much bad that we do. All have sinned. None of us is perfect. None of us should get into heaven. None of us. Not only that, Romans 6:23, again, it's not going to show. Just listen to me. All have sinned, fall short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. Which means all of us have sinned. The penalty for sin is death. We should all die. And I don't mean the death like dying here on this earth, because like I said before, we're all going to live forever, right? This is the death that is the opposite of eternal life. Where eternal life is living the quality of life, this death is talking about a quality of life. And again, I'll explain a little more what that means later. But understand this. All have sinned. All fall short of the glory of God. But the John 3, the one who believes in the Son has eternal life. That if we put our faith in Jesus, if we believe the right thing about Jesus, that God raised him from the dead, that everything that he says is true, that he is that, and we have the right relationship with him, which means he is the Lord, right? He who disobeys the Son will not see life. So the one who obeys the Son, and that's what the Lord means, okay? Having the Lord, a Lord of your life means he is the Lord. He is, you obey him. Now, A lot of times I think those of us who are, even Christians, think this, that when we think of our relationship with Jesus, we think about student-teacher, right? Jesus is the teacher. I'm the student. I listen to what he says. I hear all his wise words. I kind of hear the truth that he says. I store it in my head. I kind of use it as I can, right? Kind of a thing. It's knowledge, right? That my relationship with Jesus is all about knowledge. The student-teacher relationship. That is not what Jesus being Lord of your life means. It is not student teacher. It is master disciple. This is more of an Eastern concept. And Jews are Eastern thinkers, right? Eastern world. So they understand this completely. The idea of Jesus, our relationship with Jesus is not student teacher. It is disciple master. And the difference is this, that a student teacher is all about knowledge. Learning from the teacher, right? Getting the knowledge, making it your own. Discipleship, disciple master is all about becoming like the master. It's not just knowledge. It is becoming like the master. It is taking on the same qualities, taking on the same characteristics, doing life the way the master does life. It is about your whole person. It's not just about what's here. It's who you are. It's trying to be like Jesus. If Jesus is the Lord of your life, your goal is not to learn more knowledge from Jesus. Your goal is to be like Jesus. And that's what it means to make him Lord of your life. I want to kind of talk about this a little bit more and let me say this. Well, let me make clear the third point, because I might not have made it really clear. So the first point is of this sermon, what does God say about life after death? One, after you die, you will be judged. Second, Jesus is your judge. Jesus will be your judge. Third, you will be judged on your belief about Jesus and your relationship with him. Okay, you're asking, what am I going to be judged on? Here you go. You're going to be judged on your relationship with Jesus. Do you believe God raised him from the dead? I mean, do you on your relationship with Jesus, is he Lord, right? Lord, master, not teacher. And second, what do you believe about him? Your belief about Jesus, that he is who he said he is, and he speaks the truth. Let me talk about this Lord, master kind of thing too. Let me read from Matthew 7, 21 to 23. Again, because I want to really speak against this idea that Jesus is our teacher and we are his student, and that's all it is. That is really unbiblical, and that will get you in a lot of trouble. Matthew 7, 21 to 23 says this, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father is in heaven." One more time. "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, on that day of judgment, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name, drive out demons in your name, do many miracles in your name? I did all these good things. I did all these good things. Isn't that enough?' Jesus said, 'Then I will announce to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you lawbreakers.'" Jesus is saying, look, when you believe in me, this is not about, like I said, teacher-student. This is about master-disciple. In God's eyes, here's a statement I want to make, and I want you to remember this. In God's eyes, the opposite of belief is not unbelief. It's disobedience. In God's eyes, the way he sees it and the way we live, we experience it, the opposite of belief is not unbelief. Jesus many times in Scripture says, if you don't do what I say, you don't really believe in me. And the opposite of belief is not unbelief. The opposite of belief is disobedience. So when we are not doing what the Bible says, when we're not doing what Jesus says, when we're not trying to become like Jesus Christ, we're fooling ourselves to say that we believe the right things about Jesus. And Jesus is so, again, many times will say, stop. You claim that I'm your Lord. You claim that you believe in me. You claim all these things. But it's not what you say that's important, right? And you even say, I believe in Jesus. I believe in you. I believe in God. Jesus is saying, great. But unbelief is not the opposite of belief. Disobedience is. The question is, you might say, I believe in Jesus. I see him as the master or whatever. But if you are disobeying him, doesn't matter. That's why, what are you being judged for? Your belief about Jesus and the right relationship with Jesus. He has to be the Lord. He has to be the master, the one that you want to be like, not the one you want to learn from. Okay, so we're all going to be judged. We're going to be judged by Jesus, and we're going to be judged based on our belief about Jesus and our relationship with Jesus. So what are the consequences of this judgment, right? What am I, so, you know, if I pass, if I fail, what happens, right? That's kind of the next kind of question. Let me read from Hebrews 9:27, which is where I started out this whole sermon, and then go to the next verse 28, okay? So 9:27 said this, and just as it is appointed for people to die once, and after this judgment, okay? So that's the part I read, and that we know. The next verse 28 says this, so also Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. If you have the right belief in Jesus and the right relationship with Jesus, Jesus is coming again for you. That's one of the consequences of this judgment. That whether you're dead or alive, when Jesus comes back, he is going to come back for you. 1 Thessalonians 4:16-18 says this, talking about that moment when Jesus comes back for those who have the right belief about him and those who are in the right relationship with him. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven. The Lord Jesus will descend from heaven with a shout and with the archangel's voice and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. So even if you kind of die before he comes back, you're still going to rise again, okay? Then we who are still alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. We will be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will always be with the Lord. If you have the right belief about Jesus and you're in the right relationship with Jesus, Jesus is coming back for you. And you will meet him, and you, from that point forward, you will always be with him. This is eternal life. This is what we mean by eternal life. It's not living forever. It is living forever in the presence of Jesus Christ, with him being next to you and with you. The question then becomes, well, okay, that's great. That's great. Good to hear. What if I don't? Right? What if I don't want to do that? What if I don't want to, well, maybe I don't believe that God raised him from the dead. Or maybe I don't want to make him the master of my life. Revelation 20:11-15 says this. I saw a great white throne and one seated on it. Earth and heaven fled from his presence. No place was found for them. I also saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by what was written in the books. So if you don't have the right belief and relationship with Jesus, you will be judged according to your works. But like I said already, your works are not good enough, right? Your works are not good enough. The sea gave up the dead that were in it, the death in Hades. Hades gave up the dead that were in them, and each one was judged according to their works. And here's what happened. Death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Okay? Second death. The lake of fire. And anyone whose name was not found written in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. Here's where the Bible gets a little difficult. I understand that for some of us, especially those who do not believe in Jesus, that here's where it gets hard, right? It's like, is this true that if I don't have this relationship with Jesus, if I don't believe the right thing in Jesus, that I am going to be thrown into this lake of fire, that this is going to be, I don't have eternal life, I have the second death? The answer is yes. The question for this whole series, what does God say about life after death? Well, here's what God says about this. Right belief, right relationship with Jesus, he will come back to you, you get to be with him forever. Wrong belief, wrong relationship with Jesus, your name is not in the book of life, and you will be cast in the lake of fire. And it is not that you get thrown in the lake of fire and disappear, because like I said before, we all live forever. You get thrown in the lake of fire and you are tormented there. Let me say this about the lake of fire, or hell. It's kind of what we often call hell. Let me read you from Revelation 20:10. I think there's some important things to know about this. One, so this is the end times. The devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and sulfur, where the beast and the false prophet are, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Understand this, that the devil gets thrown into the lake of fire, along with those who are his ardent followers here in the earth. So they're there, and then those of us who don't have the right belief for Jesus, don't have a right relationship with him, get thrown in the lake of fire too. And Satan says, will be tormented day and night forever and ever. It's hard for me to read that, because as a pastor, I want that for nobody. Right? I wish that on no one. But that's what God says will happen. So what is eternal life? Eternal life is not just about living forever. It's about living forever in God's presence. Death, on the other hand, doesn't mean living forever. It means living forever under God's wrath, in the lake of fire. That's the second death, right, that is called. So there's eternal life. The opposite of that is the second death. It's not the first death, right? It's not like eternal life versus no life. It is eternal life versus the second death. What does this all say? Point four. So God says, one, after you die, you will be judged. Second, that Jesus is the judge, that you will be judged on your belief about Jesus and your relationship with Jesus. Point four, if you have believed in Jesus, you will spend eternity in heaven with the Lord. If you have not, you will spend eternity in the lake of fire with the devil. There's only two places you can end up. Either you're in with the Lord in eternity with him forever in heaven, or you are with the devil in the lake of fire forever. Okay, great. I have a little bit of time, so let me say a few things, just a little bit of a tangent, but I think important to this message. A few things about that God says about hell. Sometimes you wonder, you know, this will be a whole different sermon, right, about what does God say about heaven and hell and the devil. But let me say this about hell, because I think there are a lot of misconceptions about hell, and that causes us a lot of problems. First of all, there is a hell. There is a hell. God says there is a lake of fire. There is a place of eternal torment. It's not, yeah, that There is one. Okay? That it's not like there is no hell. Second, there is a devil. God says there's a devil, and the devil's going to be thrown in the lake of fire. Understand this, because here's where a lot of people get things wrong. The devil is not the ruler of hell. So many people in the world, right? All the stories, everything you read, Satan is the ruler of hell, right? And if you go to hell, you're under him. No, Satan is a prisoner in hell. He gets thrown into the lake of fire by God so that he can't go and do his stuff anymore. He is not the ruler of hell. He's the exact opposite. He's probably the most important prisoner in hell. Who is the devil? Who is the devil? The devil is an angel, a fallen angel, right, that served God because of pride. He used to serve God, but because of pride and he wanted to build up his own kingdom, he rebelled against God. And again, Satan may be really powerful, but he is nothing compared to God. So when he rebelled against God, God just gone, out of here. Again, sometimes we think things are pictured where God and Satan are fighting each other. There's no fight. God is in total control. Here's a very important point. Hell was created for the punishment of the devil and the demons, not for people. When God created hell, the lake of fire, it was the place that was meant for the devil and his demons to get thrown into because of all the evil they did. I think none of us, whatever we believe, would have a problem with that, considering all the wicked things that have happened, all the evil things in the world that the devil has a part in. Most of us would feel that's appropriate, that he be cast in there. That's what hell was created for him, not for people. However, people want to reject God like he did and follow him. That's what happens. You'll follow him right into hell. That's not what God wants for anybody. That's not what I want for you, for sure. I'm sure there are many believing loved ones around you, that's the last thing they would want for you. They would give their life. I would give my life for somebody to not go to hell. That's forever. It's terrible. That's where Satan is punished. Can you imagine what that is like? Nobody should go there. It was never meant for people to be there. But people can choose. People can choose. Let me kind of summarize. So, what does God say about life after death? First, you will be judged. God says you will be judged. After you die, you will be judged. Second, Jesus will be your judge. He's the one you have to face, not Peter, not some heavenly receptionist or secretary. Not even Michael the archangel. You get face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ when you die. He's the judge. Third, you'll be judged on your belief about Jesus and your relationship with him, not on your works. Thank God. But if you have the right belief in Jesus and the right relationship with him. And fourth, if you have believed in Jesus, you will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven. If you believe in Jesus, you will spend eternity with the Lord in a perfect heaven. If you do not, you will spend eternity in hell or the lake of fire with the devil. Those are the only two places you can end up. Again, I wish I could say there's something in between. I could say it, but I'm not God. What I say doesn't matter. Right? I could say I wish that were not, but it doesn't matter because I'm not God. I'm not the one who controls all this. God tells us exactly what it is that's going to happen. There's no secrets. You can't, none of us is going to be able to stand there and say, I didn't know. It's really clear. Really clear. What should we do? What should we do? Let me say this. For those of you who are believers in Christ, who claim to have the right belief and the right relationship with Jesus, remember, right belief means obedience. It is not about learning more about God. It is about becoming like Jesus. If you're in the right relationship with Jesus, if he really is your Lord, your commitment is to become more like him. If we want to call ourselves Christians, and if we want to call ourselves the people of God, we have to become more like him. I want to say a word to the non-believers out there, who, people who haven't put their faith in Christ yet. And one of the reasons you choose not to believe in Jesus is that, well, look at all these Christians, and they act so ungodly, right? I'm better than most of those Christians. Well, let me say two things. First of all, some of them may not be Christians. Again, just because somebody says, Lord, Lord, right, I'm a Christian, doesn't mean they are. A true Christian is doing their best to become like Jesus. The second thing I want to say is that none of us are perfect, right? We're moving towards perfection. So yeah, there'll be times when we do act in very not Christ-like ways. But hopefully, if we are in right relationship with Jesus, when we become aware of that, we repent from it, we turn away from it, we stop doing it, and we do better because we want to be like Jesus. So for a non-Christian, for a non-believer there, I want you, please don't use the excuse that, well, I see so many Christians that are so bad, when the fact is maybe a lot of them may not even be Christians. Look at Christ. He's the master. He's the one you should look at. Don't look at people who say they're Christian. Look at his life. And if he is somebody that you can believe in, he is somebody that you can follow and become like, put your faith in him. Don't let other people affect your perspective on Christianity. Second thing, for those of us who are believers, we need to look forward to the return of Jesus Christ, right? Jesus said if we're in right relationship with him, right believer, that he is going to come back for us. He's going to come back for us. And we need to look forward to that. That he's going to come back maybe this year. Who knows? Come back any time now. Who knows? Maybe some of us watching this right now will experience the return of Jesus Christ. How great is that? Look forward to that. If you have not believed in Christ yet, let me encourage you with this verse that I read earlier before from Romans. This is the message of faith that we proclaim. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For everyone, doesn't matter who you are, what you've done, whatever. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And I encourage you to put your belief, to believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, that he is who he said he was, that what he said is truth, and second, that you will make him Lord of your life, that you will strive to live your life to become like him, and he will help you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you. Lord, I pray for those of us who say we believe in you. Help us to understand what that means. Lord, to believe that what you have given to us in Scripture, whether it's about this topic, any aspect of life, that these are the words of truth. These are the words of God, that we can believe them, that we can live our life according to them, that if we do that, we will be following the right way, because there is no lie there. It is the truth. And help us, Lord, to to follow Jesus as the Lord of our life, not as a student follows a teacher, but as a disciple follows a master. Help us to obey. Help us to commit our lives to become more like him every day. Every day, because that is what we are called to do. And I want to say a word to those here who have not put your faith in Jesus Christ yet, and you're thinking about it. I encourage you, confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord. Believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and you will be saved. That's the promise of God. God said that, not me. And if you want that to happen, all you need to do is exactly what it says. To make up your mind, to have faith in Jesus, to believe that God raised him from the dead, that everything he said is true about life, about death, about everything. And second, to make him Lord of your life, to commit your life to become like Jesus. And if you do that, you will be saved. You will be saved. Father, we come before you and we thank you that there are you outline paths for us. Lord, for those of us who believe, help us to follow you rightly. For those of us who are really thinking about believing, I pray that your spirit would come alongside. And I know there's a lot of questions and there's a lot of wondering what happens if I do this. But Father, I pray your spirit would bring conviction and help us to step out in faith and help these people to make the right choice so that they can spend an eternity in heaven with the Lord and not in hell with the devil. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.